Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Top Stories. I'm Andy Zaltzman, and in today's Delve into the Bugle Archives, we go back in time to March 2014 and Russia invading Ukraine. Part 1. Yes, the Russian troops were occupying Crimea, unless you asked one Vladimir Putin. Here I am with John Oliver.
Top story this week. Insane in the Ukraine.
Crazy insane. Got no brain.
John, it's very notable the more you get to the stage where you are in charge of TV shows in America that your innate punning is coming to the surface in
quite a dangerous way.
Andy. Yeah, there's a lot of wordplay. Even that Oscar De La Hoya joke, I didn't realise at the time, was that a pun on a fashion designer?
Andy, I can't overstress the little amount of thought that went into that. That happened faster than my brain was working.
Well, that just shows that is your true comedic soul coming out, John.
There's someone called Oscar De La Renta, and I don't know if he or she makes shoes or dresses, or both. Right. I don't know. But I know that people like him or her.
Right.
And I do know Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, because
I know that those two names are similar.
Right.
And I could have said the normal one, but instead, for no reason, not even a particularly comedic one, I decided to say the wrong one.
See, I think it, not knowing that that was a pun, made it a better joke.
I think you're right. I think that's a fair point. Well, the point is, Andy, what a week. If last week was about Ukraine, this week has emphatically been about Russia, and I guess to a lesser extent also about the trouble in Ukraine. That was quite a white-knuckle diplomatic roller coaster the world has been on. At one point on Monday, it seemed like the US and Russia, two nuclear-armed nations, were headed for all-out war. The match-up the world has been waiting to see for a century. They shock-teased the world for 24 hours. But once again, in an act of almost tantric warmongering, both sides pulled back from the brink just before a gigantic explosion. Monday was a tense, tense day. With one of the most low-key invasions the world has ever seen. In fact, it wasn't even clear if it was an invasion by Russian troops at one point during the day or just a misplaced stroll. Apparently, suspected Russian troops, I say suspected because they weren't wearing Russian army uniforms, turned up in the Crimea on Monday morning and just started standing around. Locals were seen going up to them and chatting, trying to work out what exactly was going on, whether this was an invasion or an impromptu birthday party. If it was a military manoeuvre, Andy, it was a f***ing casual one. Although, it is worth remembering That's basically how the British Empire conquered two-thirds of the world's landmass.
Exactly. Yeah.
Essentially just turning up and saying, do you mind if I put my bag down here? Thanks ever so much. Oof, that was a long trip. I'll just sit down in your house over there for a moment. Would you mind picking my bag up and taking it inside? Thanks ever so kindly. Now, I don't suppose you'd be an absolute doll and build a railway line between here and Delhi. If you need me, I'll be over there pointing a shotgun at you while you're doing it. Be quiet.
Just hearing some breaking news now in a tit-for-tat move responding to Russian presence in the Crimea, America has announced that it has occupied Nova Scotia. The dangly Canadian peninsula has been taken over without a bullet being fired, and US troops have hoisted the flags of their favourite football teams up. So this is spreading, John, as all wars do. It's very dangerous.
Here in the US, there was hope earlier in the week that even if Putin would not listen to reason, he might instead listen to the stock market. There was instability all day on Monday, and a journalist on CNN actually hoped that, and I quote, the market could react as a diplomat. And here's the problem with that concept, Andy. Russia seemed to back down, in a way. By Tuesday, the market had bounced back completely. And the worst lesson we could possibly take away from this is that the market engineered an impressive feat of diplomacy and should henceforth function as our moral compass. Because the market, let's be clear, Andy, the market is not a diplomat, it is a f***ing sociopath. Sure, the market might not want a military occupation in Ukraine, but it very much does want factories full of Indonesian 12-year-olds trying not to let their fingers bleed over the low-grade T-shirts they're making. It'll be a new low for humanity if one of the nominees for this year's Nobel Peace Prize is the market, especially seeing as, and this is true, one of the nominees it would be going up against is Vladimir Putin. His name was actually put forward as a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize this year for reasons that are not 100% clear. One, it could have been for his assistance in getting chemical weapons out of Syria last year. Two, it could have been as a joke. Three, it could have been as a bet. And four, it could have been a filing error. And the person in question was trying to nominate him for the award for old man whose chest most resembles an overstuffed leather couch.
That's right, Vlad Putin, the self-styled Rusky Rapscallion, the St. Petersburg Scallywag, Mickey Mischief from Moscow. The Kremlin Gremlin is not budging an inch. Well, I mean, that's not strictly true. The top of his middle finger is budging by about 2 inches upwards towards the rest of the world. He said on Tuesday, this was amazing, that Russia was, quote, not considering annexing Crimea. Very much like I am not considering whether to come into the recording studio for the recording that I'm now already doing. And there's been further spanners thrown in the works by the Crimean MPs in the local Crimean government who voted in favour of a law declaring Crimea part of the Russian Federation by 78 votes to nil. 78-0, John, 100%. That is a suspiciously Russian-sounding margin of victory in a vote. That is the kind of margin of victory that Vladimir Putin himself would consider a little bit of a disappointment and vow to work harder to bounce back from.
It really would be incredible, Andy, if he won the Nobel Peace Prize this year after getting up to this level of border and fracking shenanigans. There have been some ludicrous nominees and indeed recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize in the past, but Vladimir Putin winning it this year of all years would really be something. If he won, Putin, I think, would have been the first Nobel Peace Prize winner to strap the award to the front of a tank and drive it straight into central Kiev before doing donuts in Independence Square, saying it's not an invasion, how can it be? I'm the king of peace.
The financial side of it has had some quite a lot of attention here. There was a government document that was photographed being carried into Downing Street for a meeting of senior ministers that said that London's financial centre should not be closed to Russians, basically saying we'd like to do a bit more, but it is economically inconvenient. And it shows that we in Britain, we will stand steadfast in defence of our principles. The document also suggested that Britain should push Ban Ki-moon to take the lead in calling and creating a forum for engaging Russia on Ukraine. So there is nothing more that we can do, John. No sacrifice is too great for maintaining the sanctity of national self-government where it is threatened. And we will take the strongest action conceivable. We will urge someone else to create a forum for engaging in discussions.
For we are Britain, John. We may have lost some things that defined us as a nation with the pitiless passage of that unstoppable Uber bitch time. We may have lost, for example, our willingness to fork out for a functioning justice system, our sacred principles of personal freedom, our military's ability to do anything beyond being mentioned earnestly in politician speeches, our economic dignity and self-determination. But whatever else we may lose as a nation, and by lose I mean willfully abandoned for short-term economic and ideological pettiness, we will always steadfastly retain our innate British ability to urge someone else to create a forum for engaging in discussions. No giggling.
That was so rousing, Andy. You're a downbeat Churchill.
That's right. The last thing you lose is a one-time political heavyweight.
And just before you thought Putin could not make this situation any more tense, he even conducted a long-range missile test on Tuesday in one of the least subtle pieces of gigantic metal dick-swinging imaginable. I wouldn't have been in the least bit surprised if the Russians had constructed a gigantic pair of trousers around the missile, unzipped the front of them, just poked the missile out, waggled it around a bit, and then and only then fired it before zipping the trousers triumphantly back up. The Russians were at pains to point out that they had informed the international community when they were about to fire it in full compliance with international law. But of course they did, Andy. That's the whole point. They will have loved making that call. Oh, hello, America. I just wanted you to know that we're testing a long-range missile. We're about to fire it. What's that? Is this test connected to us arguing right now? No. That hadn't even crossed our mind. What a funny thought. I just wanted to let you know it was happening, that we were testing a long-range missile. Really long, long-range missile. What's that? Could it reach you? Oh, God, I hadn't even crossed my mind. Probably. Maybe. I don't know. Definitely. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, better go fire it now. Stay away from your windows. Just kidding. Or not. Bye.
Putin, of course, the man who puts the nah into international law, had a bit of a chinwag on the blower last night with Obama. A one-hour call. Now, 1 hour, John, that must have been quite a lot of small talk, because presumably the main gist of the conversation was presumably, so, regarding Nyet, we really should poshul nahoy. Either side of that, bit of sport chat probably, they both like a bit of sport. Maybe talked about girls and motorbikes, whatever young guys like these two cats like to chat about these days. I will quote in the words of the great historian A.J. P. Taylor from his influential 1978 disco hits, Ra-Ra Rasputin, The Final Decline of Tsarist Monarchy, 1906 to 1918. Oh, those Russians.
Well, if you're looking for a positive, that's the good point, though. If you're looking for a positive from all of this mess, it might be that it seems like the Russia-US Cold War might be back on, at least a version of it. And that might not be entirely a terrible thing, because the beauty is that however much they want to, Russia and the United States can't actually fight each other. Because if they do, everybody dies. The world basically ends. So instead, they have to take all that pent-up energy and apply it to something else. Last time their relationship got this tense, America ended up putting a man on the moon basically out of pure spite. They just did it because they had a sense that Russia probably wanted to do it first. And so game on again, now I guess, because they either fire nuclear missiles at each other and end life on Earth as we know it, or they start their engines and race to something that there's no point going to. Brace yourself, Mars. You might be about to get a flag shoved in you.
And I'll tell you what, John, there are going to be some unbelievably fast women 400-metre runners over the next 10 years if this pans out as it could do.
That was another top story. Thank you very much for listening. To hear all the shows in the Bugle stable, go to thebuglepodcast.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.